Hello, Lua listeners. This is your host, Dr. Leland. Welcome to the third episode of our four series episode. Today's podcast is all about transforming struggles into strength, creativity in the face of mental health challenges, right? So our title is Harnessing That Adversity So You Can Fuel Your Creativity. But first, let's listen to
Level Up with Dr. Leland. Step into the future, the world is waiting now. Dreams are in the making, we'll show you how. From the books to the screen, from the stage to the stars, level up your game, let's raise the bar. Innovation, inspiration, it's in our DNA. Breaking through the limits, we're paving the way. Level up, reach the sky, take the lead, don't be shy. Your story's worth it, your light will shine. At Level Up
That's right. Level Up Academy is right here, right now. So my commitment to this weekly episode, because I wanted to start the new year with mental health and how it affects our creativity, right? So welcome again to Transforming Struggles into Strength podcast today as we dive into the power of creativity as a tool to navigate life's toughest challenges. I'm your host, Dr. Leland, and I'm thrilled to have you join me today as we explore how our struggles can become our strength, especially when it comes to creative expression. I was dancing, so I'm out of breath. I literally was dancing on my beginning music. Let's start with a quote by the iconic Frida Kahlo, who once said, "I never paint dreams or nightmares. I paint my own reality." Kahlo's words reminds us of how deeply personal challenges can fuel raw, authentic, and transformative art. Whether you're a painter, a writer, a musician, or just someone looking for a creative outlet, today's episode will show you how adversity can grow you stronger. Struggles and art often seem like two sides of the same coin, don't they? Some of history's greatest creatives like Vincent van Gogh, Sylvia Plath, and Frida Kahlo are remembered not only for their groundbreaking work, but also for the profound personal challenges they faced. Their work continues to resonate because it's deeply human, infused with pain, resilience, and vulnerability. But let's unpack a common misconception. Suffering isn't a prerequisite for great art. Creativity doesn't have to stem from pain. It can also be a way to process, heal, and thrive despite it. Take Vincent van Gogh, for example. His struggles with mental health are well documented, but what's often overlooked is how his art gave him purpose and clarity during his darkest times. The swirling skies of Starry Night weren't just artistic genius. They were his way of making sense of the chaos within. At the same time, it's important to acknowledge that navigating these challenges requires balance. Seeking help doesn't take away from your creativity. It strengthens it. Having a strong support system, whether it's friends, family, or mental health professionals or advocates, can make all the difference. Now, to dig deeper into this intersection of mental health and creativity, I'm not going to name real names here. I'm just creating like a pseudonym, okay? Because we value privacy here at Level Up. Let's say that I sat down with Dr. Carter. We'll call that. This doctor is a licensed therapist who has spent over a decade working with artists and writers and other creatives navigating mental health challenges. Now, our conversation was eye-opening because one particular story that she shared with me stuck with me. Now, Dr. Carter told me about a client, no names, we'll call her Maya. She was a young painter named Maya. Now, Maya was immensely talented, but deeply burdened by self-doubt and perfectionism. Don't we all have that issue with perfectionism? Whether you admit it or not, you might have a slight issue with perfectionism when you always look at your work, or I should say most of the time you look at your work, you're like, I could do better. Oh, I could have done that even better. Or right? We all have those moments. Now, Maya's art was her sanctuary, a place where she could pour her emotions onto the canvas. But over time, that sanctuary began to feel like a trap for her. Now, Maya tied her self-worth with her productivity. If she didn't paint for a week, she felt like a failure. If a piece didn't get praise, she questioned her talent. She drove herself to exhaustion, staying up all night to finish commissions, ignoring her own needs, isolating herself from friends and family. Well, eventually, Maya hit a wall. Emotionally, and of course, creatively, she came to Dr. Carter's office feeling completely lost, unsure of who she was outside of her work. We all have that moment too. If we don't have our title and we don't have a job, then who are we? Right? I can relate to Maya as well at one point or another of my career and myself. Now, Dr. Carter helped Maya reframe her relationship with creativity. Dr. Carter said, hey, we started with small steps. I asked her to set the brushes aside for a week and spend time reconnecting with herself, like reading or walking or journaling, even cooking. She loves cooking. Now, at first, she resisted. She was like terrified that stepping away would mean losing her edge. But over time, she realized that resting wasn't the enemy of her creativity. It actually was the fuel for it. Now, Dr. Carter pointed out that Maya's breakthrough came when she learned to externalize her emotions through art without letting it balance and separating her self-worth from the art itself. One of the most liberating things that Dr. Carter told Maya was that her value as a person didn't depend on how much she created or how perfect her art was. And Maya learned to love herself beyond the brushstrokes. This story literally resonated with me because it highlights something many creatives struggle with. This idea that your work defines your worth. Dr. Carter also emphasized a key point I think we all need to hear. Rest is just as important as creation. When we're constantly producing, we risk burnout. And burnout doesn't just drain our energy, it suffocates the spark that drives our art. She also explained that creativity works like a cycle. There's the input stage where we absorb the world around us. There's the processing stage where we reflect and let ideas simmer. And then finally, the output stage where we create. But too many of us try to skip the input and the processing stages entirely. Dr. Carter put it beautifully. Art doesn't come from an empty well. Resting, exploring, and reconnecting with yourself are always of filling that well. And without them, creativity can start to feel like a chore instead of a joy. This made me think about how often we glamorize the idea of the tortured artist. Someone who sacrifices everything for their craft. But as Dr. Carter reminded me, that's a harmful myth. While struggles can inspire art, they don't have to define it. The goal isn't to create despite your challenges, but to create with them in a way that's healthy and sustainable. So let me ask you, my best friends, my dear listeners, how can we channel struggles into creativity without letting them consume us? After that conversation with Dr. Carter, I reflected on a few strategies I'm going to share with you today. There are five. Don't worry, the list is not that long. But they're important. And these are some lessons learned that I've had with people's conversation and with my own self. Number one, start small. If you're feeling overwhelmed, begin with a tiny creative action. If you're an author, maybe a few sentences in a journal, or if you like to draw, maybe a rough sketch of a circle. And if you are a musician, maybe a humming melody or a starting melody, or maybe just create the words, the stanza, right? But start small. And number two, honor your emotions. Let me repeat that. Honor your emotions. Instead of pushing through pain, try to sit with it. Use it as a source of inspiration and not a barrier. Know when to rest. There's a fine line between creative flow and burnout. So pay attention to your body and mind. They'll tell you when you need a break. When your heart starts to hurt, and you're frustrated and you're snappy and you're always on edge, that is the time when you need to rest. Walk away from what you're doing and just rest. Your brain, your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit needs it. And number four, find your people. I cannot overemphasize this part. Find your people. Surround yourself with a community that supports both your mental health and your creative growth. A safe space to share your struggles, it can be incredibly freeing. When you can have a debate about an opposing thought and about an opposing moral ethical views, but at the end of that debate, you don't lose friendship over the conversation. Instead, you build a stronger relationship that you can have a debate, but still love each other at the end. Right? And number five, seek help when needed. You can't do life all alone. You're going to feel empty. You're going to feel sad one day and no one to talk to. If you feel like you're being judged from everything that you do and it feels like the door and the wall is closing in because every time you open up in another community that you belong to, you just don't feel like you fit in. Like no one understands what you're trying to do or say or your passion, and everyone says, yeah, I can understand, but really they don't. Yeah, I care, but really they don't. Yeah, I get you, but really they don't. You have to accept the fact that people will say what's the norm doesn't mean they mean what they say sometimes. It's through action that you'll know if they mean what they say. But you have to find people that can help you. Whether that's therapy to support groups or simply opening up to someone that you build trust daily or weekly or monthly, that you can make the creative process less isolating. You don't have to walk alone in this life. You have to create a space where you are safe to say how you feel, what you think, what your own biases are, your moral and ethical codes, and the people around the room that you're sharing it with accepts you. And maybe if you come in with an open mind and not close-minded, you may learn that the opposite thought and opposite conversation is something to be really reflecting, right? Because we don't know everything. We don't know what we don't know, right? That's always the whole process of conversation. But I want to challenge you. I want to know how you handle burnout. How do you handle perfectionism, right? Now, I want to create a system where even if you don't know me, you could reach out to me. And you don't even have to put your face on, just your voice, maybe on a Zoom call, where you just dump your information and let it go. I have so many people and students that I already do that now in my community. But because you don't know me, it's okay. But maybe I could create a space for you, if you're listening to this, where you can just come in to Zoom just to chat. I know my calendar is not open until October. But I have pockets of time within the week that I could create that system and you could come in and we could have a conversation and feel like you can vent without judgment. I don't even know you, right? But I don't judge people from their walks of life. I judge people from their heart and what they do and how they can do it. I have a lot of people that I've seen and looked at where they are just talking and talking and talking and talking, but no doing. They're not ready for that yet. I don't judge them for that. I just stay away from it because it's not in alignment with what I want to do, which is do. And that brings us to the end of today's episode. If there's one takeaway on this entire conversation, it's this. Your struggles don't define you. They can empower you, right? And creativity is a tool, a gift, and a refuge. But it works best when you paired it with care and compassion for yourself. Compassion for yourself. Why did I say that twice? I wanted to make sure that you actually think about that. We have a lot of compassion for other people. We've trained to have compassion for other people, but often we don't have compassion for ourselves. What is compassion anyway? Compassion is your ability to see the world through someone else's eyes, to feel their struggles as their own, and to act with kindness and understanding, knowing that even small gestures can create a profound change. But maybe you need to look at yourself in a way that you can almost see yourself as a separate entity. All the negative thoughts about yourself can be a separate entity, and all the positive things about yourself can be a separate entity. And maybe you look at the lens of your positive side and say, how can I have compassion for that part right there that feels like a failure, that feels that all the decision this person made is to come to this end where everything doesn't seem to work. And that poor person over there who made all this decision every single day to be kind to others, to be giving, but yet they end up here where they're just struggling to survive and not even thrive. They're not even able to thrive because they're surviving every day. How can I have compassion for that entity right there? And that is yourself, right? There's two sides of ourselves. The side that we can feel confident that we did a great job, and the side that we feel like failure. No matter what we do, we just don't thrive. We're just always surviving, right? Have compassion for that side of you that feels like you're surviving every day, even though your goal is to thrive. And it works best when really that compassion for yourself is a deep reflection of how you can show up for yourself. Now, as we wrap up this series with a conversation about fostering communities that nurture both mental health and creativity, the struggles and the doubt and the pointing fingers and the pity party, it's all part of you. Don't shun it away. Take it in and reflect, how can I do better tomorrow, right? And if you're struggling with your thoughts, please email me, Lua, L-U-A, at levelupbydocleland.com, and make sure, I have so many emails, make sure the subject, because that's how I filter my email, make sure the subject is podcast episode whatever. And I want you to remember that you're not alone. Keep creating, keep growing, and keep transforming your struggles into strength. Pain into purpose. All right. Until next time, guys, this is Dr. Leyland. Hopefully you guys had a wonderful time listening. I will see you next week. Bye, everybody. Oh, make sure that you guys tune in for Wednesday's live stream and Thursday's live stream. If you go to at Lua by Doc Leyland on YouTube, Level Up by Doc Leyland on Instagram, and I think CJ Leyland or Dr. Leyland on LinkedIn, just let me know. I'll be happy to connect with you. Until next time, guys. See you next Friday. All right. Bye, everybody. See ya.
Level up. It's time to rise. Unlock your potential. Reach for the skies. Transform pain to purpose. Find clarity and stride. With Dr. Leyland leading, we stand side by side. Collaboration fuels us. Together we thrive at Level Up Academy. Your dreams come alive.